Good for your circulation. How many of you are here for the prelude? Hang on, let me demonstrate, because y'all were hugging and meeting. Dun 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 dun. Okay. Good for your circulation. And let's get physical. And who could forget that video from 1981? I went back and looked at it the other day. Was putting the song together, and I was like, "Dang, that was a little risky, even by today's standards." I thought. So good, but good for your circulation, right? And that's what we're talking about this morning: is moving energy through our bodies, giving and receiving, being in that law of circulation, not being stagnant. I was going to say we're coming into spring, but today into the next couple days is not going to feel like it. But good for our circulation, we get outside and we move around, right? So when we think about doing workouts, those of you who work out or used to or think about it, the way that we build our muscle tone is we actually, when we do resistance training or strength training, what we do is we're actually kind of tearing the fibers of our muscles when we're, you know, and if you haven't worked out in a while, you know this, because that day you decide you're going to go back to the gym, you're going to hit it, and you go for it, and you're like, wow, I'm at 15 minutes, oh, I'm at a half an hour, I'm going to keep going, and you're doing that first hour, and the next day, guess what? You can't walk, or you can't pick anything up, or you can't speak or laugh because you've done the crunches, right? So what we do with that is we do it incrementally. We start with baby steps, and we hear this all the time in this practice, and you especially hear it from me, because our thoughts, our thinking process, changing our thinking process is no different than what we do with our bodies. If you've been in the classes, either online or in person, if you've been in the Lessons in Truth with Reverend Jill, and prior to that was this thing called You with Ernest Holmes. We're talking about the same thing. The principles in unity, in new thought. New thought means choosing a new thought to get to a different experience in your life, is moving away from the old patterns, the old limiting patterns, becoming aware of those patterns and being decisive as saying, hey, I'm going to make a change. I'm going to go to my mental gym. I'm going to do my spiritual aerobics. I'm going to stretch a little. And I'm going to move outside and keep incrementally moving, growing, expanding, changing. When we do that, and if you know this from being in the classes, especially with the Emily Cady, if you're reading the book, the process of chemicalization. How many of you are familiar with that term? So what you know that means is the physical changing of your body, your cell, at the cellular level, when you have done persistent, consistent, directed work in changing your thoughts. It's also changing your brain. It changes your belief system. And after a while, when you've done it consistently and repetitively and so forth, you find along the way that it is, I've made the decision, I'm going to make this change in my life. You're doing the work, you're doing your affirmations and your denials religiously, right? Yes? Yes. Of course you are. Of course you are. And then something begins to shift. And we've had the experience in the classes, and I highly recommend it. I know that a lot of you don't like to drive at night. We're getting into the time change is going to be lighter later in the evening. I recommend highly participating, at least getting the book with these classes, because the discussions that come from them and the experiences that people are sharing, particularly about exactly that, chemicalization, is, hey, I'm doing this, I'm doing my affirmations, I'm doing my denials, I'm doing all this kind of stuff. Something is shifting in me. And so we find it's like, oh, and then this happened. And then I had this conversation with somebody. And where this long ago pattern that I had used to trip me up, used to tumble me for weeks or months or years at a time, no longer triggers me. And what I love so very much about this community and the people that are in the classes and the people that are having discussions outside of that is, y'all are doing some amazing work. Do you know that? And I'm hearing the conversations of that. And somebody will say, oh, wow, I had this dream about X, Y, and Z last night, and it brought up this stuff that I've been working on. And you know what? I didn't get triggered. And I stepped aside, and I was able to stand back and look at myself and go, wow, look how far I've come. That's what I love about you guys. You guys are like in it hardcore. It's a joy. It is such a joy to be a part of that. And it's recognizing, that's the first step to all of this, is recognizing the patterns to begin with. And as I said, then making a decision. You get to a place in your life where it's like, yeah, it's not working anymore. I'm deciding to go to the gym, or I'm deciding to change my thinking about my job. I'm thinking about changing my job, or something along those lines where you, it always begins with that thought and the decision where the pain or the struggle has become so much that you go, it's not working. It's not working anymore. I've got to do something different. And so we begin to take those steps. And we begin to start changing how we see ourselves and how we talk to ourselves. Because what I hear a lot of in this work is especially people in the classes, when they're manifesting a job or trying to manifest a job or trying to sell a house, prosperity, health, whatever it might be, it's like, hey, I'm doing my affirmations, I'm doing my denials, and it's still not manifesting. What's going on? And our first question usually is, what am I doing wrong? Right? And we turn our focus to, oh, it didn't happen like this. Didn't happen immediately. I'm doing the work and I'm not seeing the results. And it's that place that we get to do our spiritual aerobics and go deeper and take a look at some very simple but very challenging tools that we can use. And that's what I'm sharing with you today. The reason that we don't, if we go back to that whole premise with all of this, it is done to us as we believe. We have to look at what the belief is. And on our mental surface, we're saying, I'm aiming, here's my goal, here's my vision, I'm doing this, I'm doing my prayer work, I'm doing all of this kind of stuff, but we kind of stop when we feel the little thing go off in our gut, a little bit of fear that we're changing. Our nervous system is saying, oh, hang on. We were comfortable being a couch potato. Really? And we want to step over into the side and do some things. We really want to do the work, and then we go, no, you know what? I'm going to do a Netflix binge this weekend. And it is uncomfortable to think about, yeah, setting that TV aside or getting on Facebook, and the next thing you know, 3 hours goes by, right? Making the conscious decision to stop the process. Stop the runaway thought, the runaway train that wants to take you back into that comfort zone that you know is not working for you. You can't, this is that place where you don't get to cut yourself any slack, right? This is not the place to beat yourself up. It's the place to give an honest assessment of what is going on in your thinking process. So one of those tools, and I've used this a lot in some of people that I've worked with in the past. It's a very simple one, but you have to get in the practice of using it to stop the runaway thought. When we get into these places, we can often hear ourselves say, using the words always and never. Ever use those when you're having an animated discussion with a loved one? You always do, or you never do. And we do that to ourselves. We do it when we're talking to ourselves, when we're stepping out of our comfort zone. I'm going to go for this new job. And it may not happen right away, and the first thing that you say to yourself is, oh, that other person always gets the better job than I do. And so what are you affirming for yourself? You're bringing more of that into your experience, right? So we become very mindful of those two words, no matter who we're having the discussion with. Stepping back from it, number one, as in every exercise, physical, mental, spiritually, emotionally, whatever it is, take a breath. Get in the habit of noticing where your breath is. Get in the habit of stepping back and going, okay, all this stuff just came at me, and my natural pattern is I'm going to react, and I'm going to react probably from an unhealed, healthy place. From an old belief system, that a lack-based system, I'm going to react from it. So number one, with all of this, in all of our exercises, even when you go to the gym, yes, you take a breath. Because you, if you haven't been on the treadmill in a while, first a long time, what do? You step it, you go, or the elliptical or the bike. You just, okay, I'm going to do this. You take a breath. But that breath, if we go back to the breath of life, that life-giving thing, we have an in and an out. We have the circulation, an in and an out. There is an ebb and a flow to it. And when all of this stuff comes at us, what do? Our nervous system tenses up. We stop breathing deeply. So number one, we take a breath and we say, okay. Number two is, what's happening here? Checking in. And a really good question to ask yourself is my life in imminent danger right now as I'm facing this treadmill? You might say yes. You might say absolutely yes. But most likely not. The breath puts us in the now moment. Right here. If I'm concentrating on taking something in, nothing else is going on in my brain. If you consciously think about holding your breath, and after a while you haven't let it out, you're not thinking about anything else but letting out the breath. And the same thing with being able to breathe in. So we create that space in the now moment. We ask that question, is there an inherent danger happening to me right now or happening around me? And usually the answer is no. The only danger is in the thought. The thought that is terrifying you to keep you comfortable and safe. So one of the tools that we use with this as well is when we find ourselves about to say, I always or I never, is we stop it in its tracks and we say, up until now. And it sounds silly. But when you get in the habit of saying that repeatedly, always and never starts to leave your vocabulary. There's a really cool thing that happens with that. When you say, up until now, I never used to get the good job. Up until now, I always picked the wrong person. Up until now, I never have any money, never had any money. And what it does is it stops that pattern that's running in the background of your brain, and you become aware of, oh, here's that belief that's limiting me. Here it is. What am I going to do with it? You might want to investigate it. You might want to think, well, where did it come from? Does it come, you know, something deeper, something traumatic? It doesn't matter. You just recognize the fact that you have that belief. And guess what? It has now come into the light to be recognized. And you can choose to heal it and let it go or hang on to it and keep creating the same experience that you've already had. There were two monks on their weekly walk to the market in town. And they've been doing this for weeks, one older, one younger. And they come to the stream that they normally cross every time they go into town. And as they were approaching, they saw a young woman standing on the bank. And then as they got closer, they also noticed that after some heavy rains, the usual footbridge that's made out of logs and giant boulders had shifted. And so there was not really a, you know, kind of tippy-toe across the rocks, safe place to go across. And it was not a raging river. But the young woman was standing there, and she said, "Good afternoon, gentlemen. I need to get to the market in town as well. And I'm not feeling really comfortable about not seeing the bridge." And the younger monk just went ahead and crossed the stream, and the older one stood there, and she said to him, "Can you help me?" And he said, "Of course." So he picked her up, and he, you know, carried her across the stream, set her down on the other side, and went on his way, joined the younger monk down the road. And they get about another mile down the road, and the younger one is just getting agitated and irritated and kind of stuff. And the older one says to him, he goes, "What's happening? Because our walks to the market every week are very joyful. We laugh, we talk about things, we're in nature, sometimes we just enjoy the quiet. What's going on?" And he says, I can't believe what you just did." And he said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You know that as monks, we are forbidden to touch women. And you picked that woman up and you carried her across the stream." And he said, "That may be true, but when I set her down on the bank on the other side of that stream, I set her down and didn't give it another thought. You've been carrying her for the last 2 miles." So, we do that with our thoughts. We do those with those little things that come into our day that trigger us, and we carry them, don't we? Don't we? So our job, our work, our practice here is to recognize when those triggers come up. Number one, breathe. Number two, decide you're going to do it differently. Decide you're going to make a different choice. Decide you're going to do your exercises, even if it's uncomfortable, your affirmations and your denials. Decide that when that thing comes up again and you want to say, "See, it happens every time, always, always, always," that you stop yourself and you say, "Up until now, this situation would have tweaked me." You recognize the situation. You don't deny that something happened. That is a fact of something that occurred in your life today. A condition and a fact came along. You had the choice to decide what you were going to do with it. And in order to do it differently, you stop it. And if you want, in practicing this, and I've taught this before, is do something physical to anchor that. So when you recognize you're having that thought and you say, "Up until now, I'm stopping that thought," you stomp your foot. Because what that does is it moves other parts of your brain to repattern the belief. It's like the difference between writing something on your computer and actually writing something with a pen and paper. Different parts of your brain will learn things differently by what you do with your body, your cellular stuff, okay? So breathe. Remember the first principle, God is all there is. And remember going all the way back to no matter what that is, what gets you to God, whether it is the five principles in unity, whether it's the first step of spiritual mind treatment in Science of Mind, whether it's the golden key, which, by the way, there are still several copies of it in the bookstore. I think it'll cost you a buck. That little pamphlet, golden key. Whatever gets you to that place, remember that there is only, and we affirm it every Sunday, there is only one power and one presence in my life and in the universe. Thank you. Every week. Be conscious of that. Be conscious of the things that you are repeating that you're not conscious that you're repeating. It's in there. There is only one power and one presence in my life, in my life and in the universe, God the good, omnipotent. We forget that we're saying it. right? It's our mantras, it's our affirmations. And guess what? The reason that you're forgetting it is because it's become part of you. It's there every time. Excuse me. We eventually embody that. That's what we're heading for, right? We want the experience, and so we need to embody it. So when we're faced with challenge, stop, breathe. God is all there is. Really, God is all there is. I had an experience this last week. I know many of you know that I'm going back to ministerial school to finish my ordination. It's going to be a couple of years. And when I got the acceptance letter, it was like, woohoo, I am so ready. I'm na 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 na. And last week was registration for classes. And suddenly my old belief in not having enough time, or that I wasn't ready, or that I wasn't prepared, I should have gotten my degree 40 years ago. All of this jumbled stuff just this last week has thrown me into a recognizing there's some stuff I need to work on still. And I'm practiced enough that I had enough sense to stop and go, wait a minute. You already started this a few years ago. Remember that? Remember that part, Kit? You already started ministerial school a few years ago. You set it aside to do some other things. This isn't new. Probably some new teachers and some new things, but this isn't new. I had to remind myself, because the fear and the old belief and an old message that I got that I was lazy and unprepared was like, and suddenly everything in my world looked completely disorganized. I didn't have enough time. I hadn't done my prep work. And so what did I do? I did a lot of breathing. First step. A lot of breathing. And then I remembered, oh, that's right. This is something that I have been called to do for a very long time. God is my source. There is only one power and one presence active in the universe and in my life. God the good, omnipotent. Everything is unfolding as it needs to and should. Amen. Thank you for that. And up until now, I would have freaked out. I had my little freak out. But up until now, it would have derailed me from going ahead and signing up for classes. I don't use always and never. The only place, this is the caveat, is if it's an affirmation. The universe is always in my favor. God is always standing there ready to give me the good that is mine. And this is part of the good for your circulation. We have to be open and receiving. We hear tons all the time about giving. Giving where we're spiritually fed. Giving where we feel lack. That was mine this week. When I got that message, oh my God, I don't have enough time. I gave where I felt lack. That's why I showed up yesterday to run the chipper. Besides the fact that it was a chipper. And it's really cool if you've never like stuck a big branch in there and it goes. It's kind of fun. But if you're feeling any place of lack, recognize that's to breathe into it and go, okay, I'm obviously attracting lack of time. I better get really focused on giving time where it matters to me. Same thing with love. Same thing with health. Same thing with money. If I'm feeling a lack, if I'm feeling constricted, guess what? I can't receive when I'm like this. When I am tensed up, when I'm holding on to something so tightly, I'm not available. I'm not available for God to give the good that I'm seeking. Last night, a friend of mine had a CD release party in Austin, and a longtime songwriter friend of mine. And in a unique twist of doing this differently, which I thought was very, very courageous and very cool, she invited her songwriter friends to sing her songs at her CD release party. Powerful. And I was, yesterday morning, I was out chipping, and I was like, oh, man, I'm tired, and I got to get ready for Sunday, and I don't have enough time, and it came back. Didn't just go away. And I was like, you know, I could call and cancel and say, you know, it's the weather, it's foggy, and I was like, I wouldn't do that. I would not do that to my friend. And I got there, and I was prepared. I had learned the song. I'm listening to it all the way in the car up to Austin. And I got to that show, and I had stage fright like I haven't had in a long time. And I was like, what is this about? And I breathed, and I sat there, and I said, you know what? I'm ready. I'm prepared. This is just some part of me that's saying, this is different. This is new. You're not used to doing this kind of thing. And what was so cool, and I was so willing to be open to recognize this, is I wasn't hanging on to doing a perfect performance. My focus and attention was there to support my friend. As it turned out, I was the last one to go on before my friend who, you know, she started the show and had a couple in the middle and finished it, but I was the last one. So I watched everybody else doing these songs, and I every single one of these people I adore. And they are brilliant songwriters in their own right and brilliant performers. And sitting there, I was like, okay, now I'm gonna cry. Because this is such a gift. I'm not hanging on so tightly that I don't recognize what a special, special evening this is. In this room full of amazing, amazing, strong, powerful, courageous women songwriters who have laid bare their souls for years through their writing. And I just breathed in for a moment and said, I am so grateful. We have to be open and willing to let go of our false sense of control to allow our good in. So keep doing your affirmations and keep doing the denials and keep doing your prayer work and keep shifting, you're shifting your thoughts. But always let the first one after the breath be, God is all there is, and I'm grateful. I'm choosing faith over fear. I'm choosing faith over doubt. I'm choosing faith that there is that one presence and one power active in the universe and in my life, not some of the time, all the time. Let's have some meditation. So as part of our spiritual aerobics, push all the air that you have in your lungs right now. Push it all out. Push it out with your diaphragm through your lungs, and then allow it to come back in naturally. Take that full, deep breath. As you make space in your lungs by fully exhaling, fully inhaling, you've got to make space for it to come in. And allow your breathing to return to normal. As you feel yourself settling in, centering in with your breath, like you to bring to mind an experience that you may have had recently where you realized you were getting your buttons pushed. Go ahead and bring it to mind. Because you're breathing, right? Maybe you're going along in that thing that was working or seemed to be working, you were healing, you were growing, and then suddenly you got something that just come seemed a little sideways. It's okay to feel it, acknowledge it. It's part of your human experience. Give the emotion its due. Say, yeah, I was angry or I was hurt. I was scared. And let my words become yours. And you can say to yourself, even though I feel this emotion strongly, even though I felt that emotion strongly, I have faith. That God, that the universe is always operating in my favor. That the God in me, through me, and as me is expressing through me with clarity of thought and unconditional love for myself and for others. Yeah, breathe. In your body to receive the divine breath of God. Let that breath fill you, your physical being, all of your cells. And then begin to repeat to yourself, I have full, unwavering faith that God is always operating in my best interests. Despite any other appearance otherwise, I have decided to trust. Decided to respond rather than react to any and all situations that may want to trigger any old limiting belief about myself or anyone else. Courageously and consciously release my reactions and now consciously embody calm, confident, and loving responses to all situations. And say quietly to yourself, I am deserving of all the good I seek. I am a divine, unique, joyful, grateful expression of God. And therefore I know I am in the perfect flow of my life. I have decided to become even more aware
the patterns of belief that may be limiting me. My growth. I acknowledge my evolution with loving kindness. I acknowledge every baby step I've consciously taken and will continue to take toward my greatest expression. Divine, unique, joyful, loving, grateful expression of God. And therefore, trust and know I am in the perfect flow of my life. I choose love. When I decide for love, I am in the perfect flow of life. Breathing out, breathing in. Always in the perfect flow of life. And so it is.